This is Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
By 6140 Run in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
By Diamond Ag, your local ag retailer supplier, built from your local specifications with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville.
She throws the first three in a row for Rockridge! The Rockets have won three state titles in a row in softball.
And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. And now, from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Lido, here's High Taylor with Sportsline.
And it's Sportsline on a Saturday morning on WRMJ, a program that's been on these airwaves of this local radio station since the station signed on the air all the way back in 1979. This is Ty Taylor. Thanks for tuning in and joining us on Sportsline inside the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Alito. A busy Friday night, a busy Saturday of high school football on WRMJ and around the Three Rivers Athletic Conference. We'll recap all of it on the show this morning. We have conversations coming up with Rockridge head coach Sam Graves, Orion head coach Chip Filler, Sherrard head coach Dan McGuire. We'll also check in with Erie Provincetown head coach Tyler Whitebread. They played a great game with Riverdale last night that we'll get into here momentarily. But we want to start our recap of last night's action with a game that I was able to be at. Rockridge and Orion, the Rockets win it going away by a final score of 50-7. The Rockets scored the first 50 points of the night and just completely dominated this game from the opening kickoff to basically the final whistle. It was the first time that I've been able to see Rockridge this year, and they are incredibly impressive. I mean, I've been telling people who were reaching out to me last night, like, what you think about Rockridge after seeing them, and they are a team that absolutely is a state championship contender. I mean, they don't have a weakness, it feels like, and that's something that, you know, I was talking about last night on our broadcast. It just feels like at all 11 spots on both sides of the field for Rockridge, they have a very good player at all of those positions. And, you know, especially defensively, and we'll talk about the offensive numbers for Rockridge in a moment, which were eye-popping and almost video game-like last night. But defensively, I mean, it just is another typical Rockridge defense that is really fast and really physical and just flies to the ball, where last night, I mean, there were a lot of plays where Orion was trying to pass it and Rockridge would basically just have three pass rushers and they would be getting to the quarterback in, you know, 3-4 seconds, maybe even less than that. I mean, Orion just had no time to throw. And then when the Chargers would try to run the ball, there was no room. I mean, the walls closed in so fast and Rockridge filled every gap, it felt like, and just almost every carry was either tackled in the backfield or the line of scrimmage, but it definitely felt like the first contact with the ball carrier was always basically right at the line of scrimmage, where Rockridge did such a good job of, you know, getting downhill. And their defensive linemen, Tanner McKeag and Tanner Dye and Levi Junis, and then their linebackers, Ryan Lower is just an absolutely phenomenal player on the field. And it's unfortunate that he missed last year with that knee injury that he suffered in week two, but he is one of the best defensive players you'll see around here. He's just so fast and he just punishes the ball carrier when he is able to, you know, meet him in the hole or make tackles. Like, he doesn't just tackle you, hits you and takes you to the ground. And Colin Schweigen has looked great on defense for the Rockets so far, and seeing him, you know, in person play on that side of the ball last night was very impressive too. Thomas Sowards has taken even more steps forward from his sophomore year last year to his junior year this year. Liam Steele and Owen Steele kind of on the back end for Rock Ridge, and Chase Wheatley are great players too. And it just is a defense that feels like a complete unit, and they play as a unit. As I said, they just get everybody to the ball. All 11 guys just flock to the ball every play, and it just feels like the big play capability isn't there against Rock Ridge because of how sound they are. And with the level of talent and athleticism that basically all 11 of their kids on defense have, it's just going to be really hard for teams to drive on a sustained drive, you know, having to, you know, put 9, 10, 11, 12 plays together to try to score on them, because it just feels like they don't really make mistakes on that side of the ball. And coming into last night, they had given up, you know, just 13.5 points per game, and that number obviously goes down, giving up just 7. And really, when you look at how the game was played last night, Orion's only scoring play was an 85-yard touchdown pass with about 2 minutes left in the game, with Rock Ridge's, you know, JV kids basically in there playing. And Orion, I mean, they were limited to 157 yards of total offense last night. And like I said, 85 was on that play at the very end of the game. They passed for 159 and rushed for a net of negative 2 yards against the Rockets last night. And then Rock Ridge also had a pick six in the game. Owen Steele returned an interception for a touchdown in the second half, as Rock Ridge led that game as big as 50-0 before Orion scored in the final couple of minutes to get on the board late. Offensively for Rock Ridge, they were about as dominant on that side of the ball as they were on defense. 550 yards of total offense, 435 rushing yards, 115 passing yards. And I think the number that jumps out, obviously, is the rushing yards total. When you look at the teams, you know, comparatively, 435 for Rock Ridge on the ground, negative 2 for Orion. I think that tells you basically all you need to know about the, you know, battle up front and how it was just completely dominated by Rock Ridge, both along the line of scrimmage offensively and defensively. Some statistics in that game: Colin Schweigen, 7 carries for 149 yards and 4 touchdowns. He was 8 of 14 passing for 115 yards. So we've talked about this a few times. He set a program record for Rock Ridge last year in single season touchdowns with 32. He's now at 24 already through week 6, so his junior season going, you know, about as expected coming in. Tanner Dye, 8 carries for 107 yards and 2 scores, and then Thomas Sowards carried the ball 7 times for 127 yards. So 3 players for Rock Ridge rack up over 100 yards rushing in the win last night. Rock Ridge now 6-0 on the year. They clinch a share of the Track Rock Division Championship with that win last night. They're 4-0 in divisional play. Orion is 2-4 on the season now, and 1-3 in the division. And for Orion, early in the game, probably 4 snaps in, Owen Voorhees, who is closing in on breaking their career receiving yardage record, he's now, I think, something like 9 yards away or 8 yards away. He suffered an apparent ankle injury early in the first quarter, came back in for a couple of snaps, caught another pass, and then basically had to limp his way off the field. Didn't return, so he missed the rest of the game last night. And talking with Coach Filler post-game, it didn't sound too optimistic about what the potential, you know, prognosis could be moving forward. Obviously, that's nothing official yet, as I think Coach Filler told us he'll be seeing, you know, a doctor or somebody on Sunday, tomorrow, to maybe get a little bit more of a legitimate opinion, I guess. But we'll certainly get an update from Coach Filler this morning on that, because that's definitely the biggest story for Orion, because it just is hard to see them winning next week against Erie Prophetstown if Voorhees isn't playing, because, man, I mean, their offense looks a lot different with him not on the field as opposed to him being on the field. So definitely sending best wishes to Owen Voorhees, who's just a fantastic player, and hopefully, you know, for his senior year and for his sake personally, he's able to finish out the year, because he has had such a great and tremendous both career and then season this year for the Chargers. So next week, Rock Ridge has Mercer County on the road, then the Rockets in week 8 play Monmouth Roseville before wrapping up the regular season in Week 9 against Hall. Rock Ridge, of course, has already clinched a playoff spot and has a chance, you know, with favorable games besides the Monmouth Roseville game, which is certainly a toss-up, that they've got a chance to go 9-0. Orion, their back's against the wall now. When you talk about postseason hopes at 2-4, the Chargers will have to go 3-0 down the stretch. A game with Erie Provincetown next week before crossover games to wrap up the year against Sherrard in Week 8 and Kewaunee in Week 9. Also want to note and congratulate Rock Ridge head coach Sam Graves, who picked up his 81st career win now, 81-25. I mean, you talk about a successful run in 10-plus seasons for Coach Graves. The 81st win sets a program record for career wins at Rock Ridge. He passes Rick Amy, who is 80-62 from 1991 to 2005. We aren't going to talk about that with Coach Graves this morning because we already talked about it with him last night, and he doesn't like to talk about himself, so I'm not going to put him through having to discuss that record again. But here's what he had to say about breaking the Rock Ridge all-time wins record last night on our post-game coverage.
Yeah, it is. You know, I still don't like it. You know, I want it to be about the guys, and I think, you know, some people, I might rub some people wrong sometimes because, like, if they ask me to do stuff or get an interview, I'd rather have the kids go do it, like on a TV station or whatever, and they're like, why doesn't Coach Graves? Well, I'd rather have the kids go do it, like,
right,
and get all the credit. Like, I put out on a post, because I had some really nice comments online this week, and I put out on there, and I truly meant it, that, listen, man, I'm the least important part of this whole cog. Like, I really feel that way. Like, I've got a great group of coaches I've been with the whole time, and that they know exactly what we want in this system for offense, for defense, and just, you know, we work really well together, and we've had a good run of kids here. Let's not, you know, make any bones about that. I think I said it, you know, last week when somebody congratulated me, I think it was View of the West on there, like, heck, I feel like if you had a better coach here, like I look at somebody like my dad, and who's the, you know, the best coach I've ever been around or heard talk about football, whatever, I think he probably wins 3 or 4 state titles with the groups I've had, and we haven't got it done. But you know, so I feel like I'm definitely the least important part of that. You got to have a great community support to have a good program. You know, there's just a lot of time and effort and money from people you ask for, and you know, from your coaches, from your kids. It has to start in the off season with your kids lifting, and in the summer, you just can't show up and play in August anymore. And you know, the kids buy into that, and so, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. And I sure appreciate everybody's nice, you know, stuff they're saying and congratulations. But man, I don't like the praise for that, because there's a lot more moving pieces than my name out there, and they deserve a lot of the credit.
So again, congratulations to Rock Ridge head coach Sam Graves on becoming the all-time winningest coach at Rock Ridge with his 81st win last night. Now, the other game in the Rock Division of the track last night was just a tremendous game. It was played in Erie between the Erie Provincetown Panthers and the Riverdale Rams. Erie Provincetown, a 42-36 win in a shootout that was back and forth in the second half. Erie Provincetown led for basically the entirety of the first half, got up 14-0, also led 22-6, and then 29-14. It was 29-22 Panthers at halftime. Riverdale in the third quarter took their first and only lead of the night at 30-29. Erie Provincetown responds 35-30, the score at the end of three after the Panthers get back in the end zone. Erie Provincetown would extend the lead to 42-30 before Riverdale scored late in the fourth to make it 42-36. The Rams would get the ball back and have a shot at the end zone from about 30 yards out as time expires. I think Riverdale was at the 25-yard line as with 1 second on the clock, threw a jump ball in the end zone that was broken up by Erie Provincetown, as the Panthers get a massive win in that game to get to 4-2 on the season. Riverdale also now 4-2 with the loss. So both Riverdale and Erie Provincetown feel like they've got pretty good chances to get into the postseason. For Erie Provincetown, they've got to get one more win, obviously, to get in, as does Riverdale. When you look at the Panthers' schedule, they have Orion next week in Week 7, then Mendota in Week 8 before playing Princeton in Week 9. For Riverdale, it is Newman this coming week in Week 7, and then their crossover games to wrap up the regular season are Hall in Week 8 and then Sherrard in week 9. It was a huge game for Keegan Winkler. He accounted for 5 touchdowns. The Erie Province Town quarterback threw for 3 and rushed for 2 as the Panthers take a big step towards returning to the postseason. They were a 5-4 team in the regular season a year ago. The final game in the Rock Division of the track this week is an afternoon game today that you can hear on the WRMJ Airwaves, Mercer County at Newman Central Catholic. We'll talk more about that game in the final segment of our show this morning, but the Golden Eagles will enter at 1-4, the Comets at 4-1, Newman number 6 in this week's Class 1A AP rankings. Over to the Mississippi side of the Three Rivers Athletic Conference, Monmouth Roseville spoils homecoming for Sherrard at Clifford King Field, a 49-13 win for the Titans on the road to remain unbeaten. Monmouth Roseville now 6-0 on the year, 4-0 in the Mississippi Division of the track, and with that win, like what Rock Ridge did, Monmouth Roseville clinched a share of the division championship and can win it outright with a win next week against Hall. I think, though, from the Sherrard perspective, you have to be really happy with the effort they put out there last night. I mean, they hung around in the game. It was 14-7 at one point in the second quarter, 28-7 at half, but then the Tigers scored the first touchdown of the second half to make it 28-13 in the third quarter. And eventually, of course, Monmouth Roseville's, you know, overwhelming advantage in talent and depth and size is going to take over over the course of 4 quarters and 48 minutes. But from the people I've talked to over on the Sherrard side of things, like last night and this morning, a few people have even said that they feel like it's the best that Sherrard has played all year, and the kids really competed hard and played hard too. And that's really what you want to see when, you know, you're 0-5, now 0-6. But Sherrard definitely has a game that is winnable next week. They're playing on the road at Kewaunee in week 7, as the Boilermakers are 0-6 as well after falling to Mendota last night. We'll talk more about that game coming up here in a moment. But on the Monmouth Roseville side of things, it looked like just another kind of typical performance for them. Offensively, they get a bunch of yards on the ground. Nick Houston rushes for 126 yards and 2 scores. Landon Montroy, 84 yards on the ground and 2 touchdowns. And Lars Berggren had 131 yards and a score. The great stable of Monmouth Roseville running backs all productive last night. Quarterback Clay Castile for the Titans, 4 of 8 passing for 56 yards. And then Houston also caught a pass for 36 yards and a touchdown in the win for Monmouth Roseville last night. So the Titans improved to 6-0. Both Monmouth Roseville and Rock Ridge have winnable games ahead next week, ahead of a Week 8 game that potentially could be an undefeated showdown late in the season. The Titans' schedule is interesting. They still have to play Hall next week before playing Rock Ridge Week 8 and then Newman Central Catholic in Week 9. So two big tests still to come for Monmouth Roseville. They currently sit at 6-0 on the season. Sherrard dropped 0-6 and 0-4 in the division. Princeton guts out a win over Hall 28-12 in a game that was competitive and a one-score game for a lot of the second half. But the Tigers get back in the win column. They're now 3-3 on the year and 3-1 in divisional play. Hall has a 3-game winning streak snapped. Red Devils now 3-3 on the year and 3-1 in divisional play. Princeton's remaining schedule is they will be favored in the rest of their games, in my opinion. They play in Week 7, the Mendota Trojans. Next week, Week 8, Mercer County. Week 9, Erie Provincetown. Hall at 3-3 has to try to pick up a pair of wins, but their schedule is incredibly tough down the stretch with a game against Monmouth Roseville next week, Riverdale in Week 8, and then Rock Ridge waiting in Week 9 for them. And Mendota gets a second consecutive win, beating Kewaunee, going away 45-13. So the Trojans last week in a 14-10 win over Sherrard snapped a 16-game losing streak and have now won consecutive games going into a matchup with Princeton next week. Mendota in Week 8 has Erie Province and wraps up the season in week 9 at home against Mercer County. Kewaunee now 0-6 on the season. They have struggled mightily this year, as 13 is the most points they've scored in a game. I believe last night was the first time that the Boilermakers have scored 2 offensive touchdowns in the same game. Kewaunee has Sherrard next week. In Week 8, they play Newman, and then Week 9 against the Orion Chargers to wrap up the season Well, we've got a lot to get to this morning on Sportsline. We have four coaching conversations. Rock Ridge head coach Sam Graves will lead us off next. We'll also talk with Orion Charger head coach Chip Filler. Sherrard Dan McGuire will join us, as will Erie Province Hounds Tyler Whitebread, talking about that big win for the Panthers last night over the Riverdale Rams, which got Erie Provincetown to 4-2 on the year. And then in our final segment today, we'll give a brief preview of the Mercer County Newman Central Catholic battle, which is set for 1 o'clock this afternoon at Roscoe-Eat Stadium. Kickoff will be at 12 noon here across WRMJ. You can listen to that one on 102.3 FM, online at WRMJ.com, and streaming on the WRMJ app. A full weekend of Three Rivers Athletic Conference football. What else would you want to do when it's 90 degrees in October, right? So we'll take a break, come back in here for our head coaches. Rock Ridge head coach Sam Graves standing by. We'll speak with him next at Sportsline from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo on a Saturday morning.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Ty Taylor back on Sportsline this morning on WRMJ and WRMJ.com, speaking with Rock Ridge Rocket head coach Sam Graves. 50-7, the Rockets win over the Orient Chargers last night. And Coach Graves, we spoke about it post-game with you last night on our, you know, play-by-play coverage, but just a really impressive performance on both sides of the ball. You've had some more time to reflect and maybe review some of the stuff from last night. Just overall takeaways from a really, you know, impressive and dominant win last night, 50-7 at home to get to 6-0.
Yeah, I think, you know, we touched on it kind of a little bit, but I think the first thing that jumps out at you is we were able to pretty much slow them down, you know, our defense against their offense pretty much right away. I know, I think the night finished out like negative rushing yards for them. So, you know, to be able to have that explosive of a defensive line job and you know, our inside linebackers did as well. I know we mentioned him by name last night, but Tanner Dye, you know, Levi Junis and Tanner McKay, just an incredible job up there. Those defensive, those three guys up front. I think the very first play of the game, maybe, or second play was a run, and, you know, Junis, Levi, you know, did the job he was supposed to do, but it was like a tad bit late. So they got a couple yards on it. And then, you know, they tried to do it to him a couple more times, and he was tackling it for loss or no gain because, you know, he was able to figure it out and make adjustments quick. So, you know, those guys did a great job setting the tone early up front. And again, I mentioned also with those three, how great they did. But I also mentioned Thomas Sowards and Ryan Lower, how nice it is to have those fast and physical of linebackers around those three. And you know, with a team that throws like Orion, sometimes those three being able to do the job and get pressure allows you to drop eight, and it makes it even tougher on them.
Well, you mentioned Ryan Lower there, and I know we've spoken about him a few times this year, and it's just great to see him back out there after suffering that knee injury that wiped out, you know, virtually the whole year for him a year ago. But seeing, you know, you play in person for the first time last night, the way that he flies around and can get to the quarterback and get to the ball carrier, and just it feels like he's always like right in the hole that they're trying to run through. And just it feels like he doesn't really miss any tackles too. So just how big of a boost has it been getting that kid back to plug into a defensive unit that obviously was really strong a year ago in his absence still?
Yeah, just, I mean, that's been incredible for us. It really has. He was a huge presence on the field that we missed last year, and you feel terrible for him because he also missed the whole year. He's a, you know, a state wrestler. He'd be down at the state tournament in Champaign if you know, he was healthy last year too. So you just feel bad for him with how much he lost, but you also feel great now for him coming back that he's able to do what he's doing. And I think he's really enjoying it. But yeah, like you said, he's just got an incredible motor and speed and we'll call it energy when he gets to the football, man. He hammers some people sometimes. It's fun to watch, but you know, he's like your ultimate linebacker on defense. If you try to come up with a kid that fits, like, okay, scheme wise, whatever, what are we looking for a linebacker? I mean, it's Ryan Lower. That's who you want. So, you know, he's done a great job and you feel great for him coming back off that energy or off that injury from last year. Like you said, but that's been a huge boost. And it's something you said last night. I mean, heck, if you don't lose him, think of what that defense can be like last year going into the playoffs. I mean, that may be a difference maker for us, you know, playing a couple more games.
Well, we spoke about your offensive line last night with the more than 400 rushing yards you put up, but really your three main ball carriers last night had great nights too. Cullen Schweigen and then Thomas Sowards and Tanner Dye all rushed for more than 100 yards. And I think all three of them last night especially felt like they very rarely were tackled by the first player that got to them. A lot of broken tackles for the kids you had carrying the ball last night. So, I mean, from those three specifically that get, you know, basically most and all of your meaningful carries throughout the season, just speak about the level that they've played at, you know, both for the year, but then last night too, because like I said, it's fast and it's physical running, I think, for all three of them.
Oh yeah, all three of them do a great job of running through contact. You know, it's really been explosive for us offensively to be able to kind of rely on that and not have to throw. There was a lot of things they're throwing to, but you do, you know, you don't have to when you're running the ball like that. And a credit, and I know the first thing they would say is great job by the offensive line as well, because, you know, we've talked a couple weeks about this in a row, but just, you know, that's a group we questioned hard in the offseason, and they've really done a nice job and showed up and worked hard, and they're creating those running lanes for those guys getting through that first level. And you're right, once it gets to the second and the third level, then those three have done a great job of just being physical runners. I think they're a little deceptive too, because they all have some decent speed and moves that you don't expect, because you expect them to be physical runners. You've seen it all year over and over, breaking tackles and running through tackles. If they have to, they can make somebody miss. So I think they're all deceptively quick and have good little moves too to them.
Well, you look ahead to next week now, you're sitting at 6-0, and I think a game that normally year in, year out is exciting now that it's been back, where Rock Ridge plays Mercer County next week in week 7. You play for a traveling trophy that you won for the first time last year with that series resuming. So before we speak, you know, maybe specifically what you know about Mercer County as like a team in 2025, I mean, how fun is it getting to play this game and getting to travel to Aledo for the first time in quite a while?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody, you know, would I think agree it just makes sense, right? Like, I think there for a lot of years there were a lot of people asking for, hey, we're whatever it is, you know, town school borders butt up next against each other. We're, you know, from our school to Mercer County is what, 15-20 minutes, and like, doesn't it just make sense? So you know, it's good to see again. I know for us, we were talking about it right away last night, and it brought up some bad memories right away. Heck, we were trying to think. We think the last time we were there was that 2013 season, maybe, where we met in the playoffs. So, and it was that whatever it was, that double overtime game or whatever it was. So it's been quite a while. I mean, heck, how in the heck has it been 12 years or whatever since we've been there? But it is, and now that it hopefully becomes just an every year thing now, and it's nice for the communities. I think it brings a little bit more energy back to the game, and people love seeing it. You know, it's those communities, like, you know, we talk about it, Rock Ridge, Mercer, Rock Ridge, Orion, Rock Ridge, Sherrard, like those communities know each other. They're close. The kids are close. They know each other now with social media, talk all the time. It's just, it's nice that we're able to play against those guys, and it just makes sense.
Well, yeah, just to focus, you know, this week where you have a game against Mercer County, who struggled this year, obviously, and you have the game with Monmouth Roseville looming the week after. So how do you try to, you know, keep everybody focused and not looking ahead, because you still got to take care of business, try to clinch, I suppose, the conference title this week against Mercer County, too?
Yeah, that's, you know, our message to the guys last night, always, in, you know, and celebrate the weekend, enjoying your win, and that was our talk to him, is come focused on Monday, because it's a drastic change going from spread, you know, fast pace, no huddle, throwing the ball all the time, to a, you know, double wing, wing tee, run the ball look. And we're like, we need you guys to be attentive coming in Monday. We need to learn what the mistakes, because I mean, you think 50-7, okay, we'll just walk on and move on. But there's going to be a lot of things we're pointing out in film that we only saw a few plays last night sitting around all the coaches together. But, you know, right away you see some of the sloppiness and some of the missed assignments in the first half. And so there's definitely some teaching points that we got to, and the guys have been doing a great job all year of understanding that if we're where we want to be in weeks 10, 11, 12 and beyond, that you got to keep getting better each week. You can't be okay with where you are. You can't be okay beating Orion 50-7 and just calling it good. And our season's as good as it can be. We understand that we got to come and get better this week. And, you know, I think that we'll have the guys full attention with a different style of offense. And we won't speak about that Monmouth week 8 game until after that Friday night, hopefully victory for Rock Ridge, you know, this Friday.
All right, Rock Ridge head coach Sam Graves joining us. Rockets now 6-0 after beating Orion 50-7 last night. Coach, appreciate the time, man. We'll talk to you. Getting ready for the Golden Eagles later this week.
Hey, appreciate it. Thanks, Ty.
And I'm Ty Taylor. More coming up on WRMJ.
Now at 6140 Run, your feet are about to get faster. Check out the brand new Ghost 17s by Brooks, engineered for smooth rides and soft landings. Or lace up the all-new Clifton 10s by Hoka. Lightweight, responsive, made to move. What max cushion? Step into the plush comfort of the Bondi 9s from Hoka. They're like clouds for your feet. Whether you're chasing miles or just chasing comfort, find your fit at 6140 Run. Now open at 185 West Main Street in Galesburg.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
All right, back on Sportsline this morning on WRMJ, talking with Orion Charger head coach Chip Filler. 50-7, Rock Ridge wins it over Orion in week 6 last night. And, Coach, I know the number one story for your club is the status of Owen Voorhees. He's one of the best players around the state for sure at the, you know, wide receiver spot. So got rolled up on last night, didn't play for basically from the first drive through the end of the night. Any update you have on him this morning after you got the chance to talk with him last night?
No, not really. I mean, we had a brief conversation as they got off the bus, and just, you know, seeing where he was at. A lot of pain, obviously. In his words, what he told my son was, yeah, the worst pain he's ever had. So, I mean, we've got some guidelines in front. You know, our trainer's going to see him on Sunday. He's got a rest today and ice, and we'll see where he progresses there. You know, asked me last night, you know, are you going to let me play? Which I thought was the craziest question in the world. I'm like, absolutely. We're going to let you play no matter what. If you're 30% or whatever, I'm not going to hold anything back from your senior night, from your senior season. So, I can't say for sure, but, you know, we appreciate the prayers and, you know, people thinking of him and trying to get him ready to go. And so we'll see how the week progresses, but As of right now, you know, less than 24 hours out, there's no big real change. So,
well, last night we talked about it with you post game. Obviously, with him going down, it makes, you know, everything offensively just a lot harder with what you have to try to replace. Just the volume of touches he gets, it basically goes right out the window. But, you know, 50-7, of course, isn't the result you were looking for. So just maybe what was the biggest thing you were concerned with last night after kind of seeing the performance and the matchup on the field?
You know, not necessarily concerned. You know, we knew what we were going up against with Rock Ridge, and that's a really good football team. That's an uphill battle, you know, if Owen's even there. It was kind of eye opening for me, especially like you know how much he really actually does for us and how the game actually changes. I mean, I guess I always knew it, but you know, until it's taken away from you, you don't really appreciate it. You know, we had guys step up and we had guys do some things that were out of their norm, and I think that's what we're going to have. You know, those three games moving forward, you know, people are just going to have to start playing like out of their minds, you know, and having their career days and really doing things above and beyond, because you know we don't have Owen, so or potentially not having Owen. So Max has got to really step it up. Aaron Moore, who I thought had a great game last night, you know, he's going to have to really step it up. I mean, Mason Lallman stepped into that spot, did a very good job. Now here's the thing we do have going well for us going to the last three. Like, Owen missed the last game of the season last year, and we had to move some different guys into his spots, and Aaron ended up taking over that receiving spot. So that might be something that we do, you know, but we are definitely losing a playmaker for sure on the outside. But, you know, we'll play hard and, you know, we'll get it together, because we got no choice right now. I mean, our back's against the wall, so we got to figure it out.
Well, yeah, you mentioned the backs being against the wall there, and we talked about that a little bit last night too. But this is a team that you got this year that I think absolutely is a playoff caliber team, with especially some of the top end talent you have. You still have a chance to do that if you're able to rattle off the final three games of the season. So, I mean, obviously, I'm sure the message last night was got to refocus and get ready for week 7, because the season is now, you know, on the line the rest of the way, right? Is that basically what you told the kids?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we went into halftime, and you know, again, I think I alluded to this on the radio. Like, I can be, my character's very vocal, and you know, I can be harsh at times. But I think what we looked at is the last 24 minutes of that half is just last night was just finding something good, finding something we can build on moving into this week. Because you know, we're going to need some positive vibes. We're going to need you know, the prayers, so to speak. We're going to have to have it all going forward if we're going to pull this, especially this one against EP. You know, they get a big win last night against Riverdale, which I can't say that I'm surprised at, just because I don't know just how things have gone, but I was really wishing, I was hoping that Riverdale would take care of business and we could go in and our psyches would be a little bit better, because you know if our kids knew that EP got beat by Riverdale, who beat us, that might be a little bit easier going into this week. But I think now I'm going to have a psychology 104, you know, trying to get our kids to really, some of them to really understand that this is a winnable game, and we've got to do it. So no favors there by the Rams, but we'll get our guys together and get them ready to play.
Yeah, so speaking about Erie Provincetown, I know it's a team that I think the last 2 years you've played like really good and tight games that came down to the wire against them. So just speak to right now, early on in the process of preparing to play them, just kind of what you know about them coming into a game that, you know, is very important for Orion, as you alluded to, and also very important for Erie Provincetown as they'll come in at 4-2 next week.
Well, you know, we've got a great plan against them, at least from what I've been putting together. And I like the game plan. I like what we're going to do offensively. Now, with that being said to you, the key component might not play. So does the game plan change? I don't know. I'm going to, you know, we'll have to go back and scheme them up a little bit better, just having the idea that Owen might not be there, and what can our other guys do to really, really help us out and step up. You're going to see, you know, with them, you know, they gave Rock Ridge a really tough game. They like to blitz a lot. So that could cause us a little bit of trouble. I think we got to own some things up front again. You know, kind of vanilla in the back end, you know, a lot of off coverage. I anticipate them to change that, you know, seeing this tape. Very good. I think very good defensively. Offensively, a lot of misdirection, a lot of different formations. So it's going to take some time going through all that with them. But, you know, definitely a quality team. You know, obviously a playoff team. Now, I think they, no matter what happens to them in our game, I think they punched their ticket. So theoretically, Ty, right, the best thing that can happen for our conference as a whole happened last night with Riverdale losing to them, because Riverdale obviously will probably get in. Erie, Provincetown now has a really great chance of getting in. And if we beat Erie, which I think we can, now we get in, or have the potential to get in. I shouldn't cash our ticket yet, but have the potential to get in. So that would send five teams from our side in to the playoffs. So as a conference, if I'm the conference commissioner, if I'm the CEO of Roger Goodell or whatever, I'm thinking the Rock's got a lot of good things going on with, on their side.
Someone should make Coach Filler in his retirement the commissioner of the Three Rivers Athletic Conference. That would be great. And I guess just the last thing I've got for you, Coach, you know, defensively giving up 50, like, oh, I guess not quite 50, because one of the scores for them was a defensive touchdown, but, you know, over 500 yards of total offense for Rocker. Just what do you need to see better, you know, the final 3 weeks that tried to punch your ticket to the playoffs that maybe you didn't see last night?
Well, we got to do what we're told. I mean, you know, and I'll say this as far as, like, you know, Rockridge is a really good football team. And I've always said really good football teams can make you out of character and not do the things that you are taught or want or are being told to do. And that's kind of where we're at. I mean, you know, I don't know, you know, many times in high school sports where your best player or one of your best players goes down in the first quarter and your team actually responds to it in a positive way. I mean, you're talking about 15, 16, 17-year-old kids. They lose one of their best friends who's a huge part of the program. I mean, our sideline really took a hit emotionally and psychologically. So, you know, we're going to have to get over that. You know, the five, I mean, we need to tackle better. I mean, I think we say that every week with us, but we had guys playing, you know, I got two safeties that are really, really, truly, and probably outside linebackers in most schemes, just because, and they're having to play safety in a cover four situation because we don't really have anybody else. And because of the injury factor, I got our best outside linebacker has to go to corner because we're so depleted in the secondary. Here I am just giving, you know, Coach Weibert, you know, Erie Provincetown a synopsis or a scouting report on us, but I mean, this is the way it is, and hopefully we can get a little bit healthier and get our guys back playing in the right positions and where they need to be, and we will be getting healthier. I'm going to allude to this. Griffin Tennant got cleared on Friday. We held him out of this game, but he'll be back. So that's going to really pump us up a little bit. You know, that'll allow Max defensively, especially defensively, to go to his back to his outside linebacker spot, which we think we're going to really need. And then, you know, we'll keep our fingers crossed with Owen and hopefully he gets back and we have all our seniors and we have all our guns going into the biggest game of the year.
All right, Charger head coach Chip Filler joining us on Sportsline this morning. Chargers dropped to 2-4 with a 50-7 loss to Rock Ridge last night. Coach, thanks for the time, man. We'll talk to you getting ready for week 7 coming up.
All right, man. Ty, appreciate it.
All right, and I'm Ty Taylor. More coming up on WRMJ.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309. 299-6400.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
And Ty Taylor back on Sportsline this morning on WRMJ and WRMJ.com, getting the chance to check in with Erie Provincetown head coach Tyler Whitebread. Panthers, a big win over Riverdale last night at home, 42-36, holding on at the final play of the game to keep Riverdale out of the end zone and get to the win and get to 4-2 on the season. So, Coach Whitebread, just speak to us about the game you played last night. It looked like a classic game between a pair of local rivals last night that the Panthers come out on top of. Had to be pretty fun.
Back and forth. Both teams just kind of a heavyweight bout. Got a lot of respect for Coach Derricks and the Riverdale Rams. And, you know, it was just our night, I think. You know, offensively, we were lights out. We struggled a little bit on defense, but I think that was part of Riverdale's scheme and what they do offensively. But our offensive execution was just on point. And I'm so proud of the guys and so proud to be part of that, a game like that.
Speak about what you were able to do on offense last night. 42-36, a game that was high scoring. And it feels like in games like that, you almost have to be like perfect where both teams are struggling to get a stop. So offensively, what about, you know, your offensive unit and the kids able to really come through in a game that it felt like it had to have been pretty pressure filled with both teams just putting up points. It felt like every time they touched the ball.
Yeah, I'll be honest. So far this season, our offense has been, you know, a little inconsistent. At times we look great, and at times it looks like, you know, it just doesn't look very good. I had an opportunity to watch a little bit of the first half this morning, and man, there was a handful of plays that it was 11 guys on the offensive side executing. Every single guy went to the right spot, blocked their butts off. Ran the ball, just, you know, it was unbelievable. I'm just really looking forward to Monday to pointing these plays out, because we've been stressing to these guys, like, our offensive unit is capable of having really good games, and we just haven't. And, you know, from what I saw in the first half, it was hard to find, a bad play, to be honest.
Well, we talked with you about your quarterback, Keegan Winkler. I think coming into the week you were playing Mercer County, and you said he's kind of a kid that really is a leader on the team, and he's played a lot of snaps and played a lot of, you know, varsity minutes and in basketball too, of course. So for him, the performance he had, you know, 5 touchdowns to kind of carry you to that win last night, I mean, felt like a really great performance from a senior kid when you really needed it to get to that 4th win last night. So just what'd you see out of him last night that you liked in the win over Riverdale?
Yeah, he's so level-headed in games like that. You don't see a lot of emotion from him, but you could tell as the game went on, he was really passionate. He just never gets too high or too low, and you know, that's who you want as the quarterback, and that's who you want as the leader of the team, because there was a lot of highs and there was a lot of lows, and man, he was just balling out there, you know. And I've never seen him play that well, running the ball, throwing the ball, being that passionate leader. Again, he's a little more reserved where he's just kind of thinking, what do I got to do on the next play, which is awesome. But, you know, I think the guys love seeing when he gets excited, and man, he just took over. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Well, for you, and this might sound like a dumb question, but I mean, how much better does it feel to be at 4-2 than it would have been to be at 3-3? I know you still have a couple of, you know, challenging games on the schedule left to finish out the regular season. So I'm sure getting, you know, win number 4 and coming out on the top end of that tight game last night has to feel great, both in terms of the win, but also with the season outlook now too, right?
Yeah, for sure. You know, we knew Riverdale was going to pose a huge fight for us. We knew we were going to have to play a really good game to be in it at the end. We've talked about our conference, and each week poses different problems and things such as that. But to get that one over a really quality team, feels good. And I think, you know, again, that momentum that, you know, we've tried to talk about week in and week out, and just trying to get that to build. Going into this week, we feel extremely good about ourselves. And, you know, one thing we always talk about, it's about us rather than the other team so much. If we can execute on both sides of the ball, we're going to be in pretty good shape. But again, we got to play a potent offensive team from Orion next week. So, we'll get after next week and focus on them.
Well, something you spoke about there is the strength of the conference, and it's been, you know, talked about a lot this year. And I think you will be good to speak to this because you coached a team last year that was 5-4 out of the track and went into the playoffs and nearly pulled off, you know, an upset of a 9-0 team on the road. I mean, do you really feel like this league gets you ready for a postseason run, even if maybe, you know, you're 6-3 and 5-4, you feel like you're probably in a pretty good spot if you're able to qualify because, you know, you have beat, you know, probably a couple of playoff caliber teams at least. So is that something that maybe you notice, especially with what you were able to do last year?
Yeah, you know, us coaches have been in this conference for quite a while, and we know the strength of the teams that are in it. And again, this year is no different. It's probably even a little more powerful. And I think last year, and we talked to our players about that, about getting into the playoffs in any way we can because of how strong the opponents we play are. But for them experiencing that last year and having a chance against the 9-0 team from a different conference, you know, like sometimes they have to see it rather than just hear it from us coaches. And again, we got a lot of guys from that team last year, and I think they know that if we can get in, we can make some noise. And again, like last night was an opportunity to help them believe in this team and that we, you know, we're destined to do something really great this year.
Yeah, and then just last thing I got for you, Coach Whitebread, really appreciate the time this morning that you're giving us too. But you play Orion next week. You have a chance to punch a playoff ticket if you can get your fifth win. Orion playing for their playoff lives now at 2-4. So a game that is very important for both clubs, of course, and most games this time of the season are. Just what do you expect out of the matchup next week with Orion in a game that both teams are really going to be fighting to get a win in?
Yeah, you know, the past 2 years we've played Orion, they've just been epic games. 2 years ago, we scored on a touchdown to get within 1 point. And then we converted with no time left, and we converted the 2-point conversion to win it, which was, we were 0-5 at the time, I think. And we won that. And then last year, Orion had a chance to kind of do the same thing to us. And we were fortunate enough to deflect the pass on the very last play of the game. So our guys know that Orion's well coached. They have some players on their team that are dangerous. So it's going to be another dogfight. It's going to look different than versus Riverdale because they're two completely different types of teams. But it's going to be a lot of fun, but we're going to have to play a really good game again.
Erie Province Santa Coach Tyler Whitebread joining us on Sportsline this morning. Coach, thanks for jumping on with us. Congrats on a great win last week, and we'll talk to you more this week and ready for Orion.
All right, thanks, Ty. I appreciate it.
And I'm Ty Taylor. More coming up on WRMJ.
Now at 6140 Run, your feet are about to get faster. Check out the brand new Ghost 17s by Brooks, engineered for smooth rides and soft landings. Or lace up the all-new Clifton 10s by Hoka, lightweight, responsive, made to move. What max cushion? Step into the plush comfort of the Bondi 9s from Hoka. They're like clouds for your feet. Whether you're chasing miles or just chasing comfort, find your fit at 6140 Run. Now open at 185 West Main Street in Galesburg.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Back on Sportsline this morning on WRMJ and WRMJ.com, speaking with Gerard Tiger head coach Dan McGuire. Tigers fall at home to Monmouth-Roseville last night by a score of 49-13. So, Coach McGuire, I guess just start by speaking about what you took away from the game with the Titans on homecoming last night.
Well, I don't think it's indicative of the score, but I think our kids played hard. I think that our opponents knew they were in a game. It was a physical contest, obviously. Monmouth-Roseville's got tremendous size and speed. They're a very good football team. I was very pleased with the way our kids came out and fought and competed. Opening the game and opening the second half, we had a couple nice drives to put the ball in the end zone. So they responded at the beginning of each half and was happy with that. And, you know, we hung in there. We were, you know, undersized and all that, but the kids fought hard, so I'm proud of their effort.
Yeah, and just speaking about the effort, you know, kind of tracking that score last night, I saw it was 14-7, I think, early in the second quarter, 28-7 and a half. Then you score, like you said, to make it 28-13. I mean, it's a two-possession game with a team of Monmouth Roseville's caliber, and just with how the, you know, season had been going so far for you with, you know, not being able to get in the win column, I think it's got to be really... you know, it's got to be a good sign, I think, to still be competing at the level you are and playing as hard as the kids must have played last night. So another positive in that respect, you think, just with kind of the effort and the mentality of the kids, despite the adversity?
Absolutely. As I mentioned, I'm proud of them. They fought. They didn't give up or quit. And that's all I can ask of them is, you know, we played as hard as we possibly could, I think, and like I mentioned, I don't think the score is indicative of how we played. I know that, you know, times have changed since years ago when I coached. You know, you'd get up and you'd sort of back off, but Monmouth kept at it until under 3 minutes to go in the game. So it's not like we were facing you know, their JV team or anything like that. They wanted to score more points, and our kids kept fighting, trying to compete, you know, just for their effort. I applaud our kids.
Yeah, speaking with, you know, some people who were at the game, you know, what I've heard is some people think that it was maybe, you know, the best game you put out there, the best effort, you know, for four quarters, just speaking about the level of opponent you were playing too. So, I mean, how far along do you feel like you've progressed this season getting to play, you know, week six against Monmouth Roseville? You hung in there, you know, for a while and hung around in the game. So, I mean, overall, obviously, you know, you don't always want like a moral victory or whatever, but were you happy with just the way you were able to compete and stay in the game for as long as you were?
You know, I think as we've talked as a team, just trying to get better every practice and every game. And I think our kids have done that despite, you know, the injuries and the illnesses that we've faced throughout the season. You know, it seems like somebody is willing to step up and fill the voids that we've had. And, you know, I think that it was a good effort, but I think, you know, some of our other games have been good efforts again, even though we've come up short. You know, it's not lack of trying. You know, sometimes penalties have done us in where we move the ball down to the goal line and get backed up by some mistakes and penalties and things like that. But it's not due to lack of aggressiveness or effort on our kids' part. They're trying and giving their best, and that's, again, the most I can ask for from them, and I'm proud of working with them and being part of their team.
Well, yeah, you mentioned earlier about matching up with Monmouth Roseville's size and physicality, and that, of course, is the thing that I think sticks out about them to everybody when you first see them or first watch them, especially in person. So just with that part of the game, how do you feel like you were able to match up just size-wise and maybe not size-wise, but more so physicality-wise in that game last night?
Well, I think you know, as the season's gone on, we've become more physical, and the kids play hard and give their best, and you know, with the size and speed that they have, they're a very good football team. I think our kids just kept battling and you know, didn't lay down. They were going to give them their best effort, and I think, you know, sometimes rather than getting driven back 10, 15 yards by their double teams and their size and stuff, our kids hunkered down and fought. And sometimes they had to hit the ground to cause pileups and things like that, rather than getting driven out of there and such. But, you know, we just had kids that were willing to step up and fight the you know, I guess the strength and the size that they had. So again, I'm proud of the kids.
Well, and just, you know, the story's been the health and the kids who've had to miss games throughout the year for various reasons. So through week six, looking ahead to week seven, where's the progress on that? Are you close to full strength? I mean, just overall the availability of some of the kids you've been missing.
We're still missing some. We may get a few back this week, I'm hopeful. But, you know, we may be losing a few too. So it's just sometimes that seems like a revolving door. But, you know, we've got 26. I think maybe they were the most we've had in a long time last night, where we had 28 kids dressed out. We'll find somebody that steps up and wants to get in there and get after it. That's what we've been doing and we'll continue to do. So, yeah, we're getting some back. I'm hopeful, but I think we may be missing a few vital pieces as well. But we'll go into the game with what we have, and I'm sure the kids will give their best efforts.
Well, as we've been speaking about the past couple of weeks, it just felt like, you know, there have been steps forward where the wins haven't necessarily come yet, but you have a game against a winless team next week in Kewaunee. So, I mean, how important does it feel for you, and maybe more so just for the kids, to be able to try to get a win, you know, next week in a game that certainly feels winnable going in?
Well, I think, again, Kewaunee's played some teams tough. It'll be a tough battle for us. You know, I know there's a lot of emphasis on the wins and things like that. I think what I see as a coach is our kids have been winning every contest that they go out there and they give their best effort, and that's what I'm going to ask of them again. And I'm sure they'll step up and rise to the occasion. You know, we talked last week about our prior game and only given up a couple first downs, and one of them being by a penalty on our part, playing good defense. Jess Schmalbach's doing a great job, as well as the other coaches, and I'm proud to be associated with them as well. They're doing a good job trying to work with kids and get them in a position to where they can be successful. And, you know, we'll do our best again this coming Friday, and you know, I'm sure they're hungry for a win as well. So, and I'm sure their coaches are proud of their kids and working hard to achieve that as well. You know, even when I've been on the other end of the coaching and had some success and so on, and you know, teams that were much the size of Monmouth, Roseville, with the speed and talent that they had, I never went into games trying to embarrass their opponents, because I've always respected the other teams that we played, because I realize those coaches are working hard and their kids are working equally as hard. So that's my mentality to this day, is we're going to give our best effort, never go out there try to you know, embarrass anybody or run the score up or do anything like that, give opportunities for everybody to play. But I'm sure Kewaunee, you know, is well coached, and their kids are going to come out ready to play as well.
Gerard Tiger, Coach Dan McGuire, joining us on Sportsline this morning. Tigers fall to Monmouth Roseville last night, 49-13. Coach, I appreciate the time this morning, and we'll talk to you later in the week. Thanks.
Thank you, buddy. Bye.
And I'm Ty Taylor. More coming up on WRMJ.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
And back inside the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo, getting ready to load up the car and head to Sterling for Roscoe Weed Stadium for Mercer County at Newman Central Catholic, which is a 1 o'clock kickoff with pregame coverage at 12 noon today here on the WRMJ airwaves. And Mercer County playing for its playoff lives today at 1-4 on the season, 0-3 in divisional play of the Rock Division of the Track. Newman is 4-1, 2-1 in divisional play. The Comets coming off of their first loss of the year, falling to Rock Ridge last week, 26-6. Newman enters this one ranked number 6 in this week's Associated Press Class 1A poll. Newman head coach Mike LeMay telling WRMJ it's been a good week of preparation as the Comets hope to bounce back today.
Absolutely. Our practice week has been incredible. Kids have answered, you know, physical, mental challenges, and that's what they have to be able to do if it matters to them, and it clearly does. And I'm excited to see this team back out on the field on Saturday and a chance to play a game together and, you know, just take one step at a time. So it's been a really good week overall.
Well, as we said on the Mercer County side of things today, playing for the Golden Eagles playoff lives as they've lost 3 games in a row, sitting at 1-4 on the season. Mercer County head coach Fred Lucas on the message heading to the matchup with the postseason hopes on the line today.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, every game's a playoff game this week, especially when we get behind the 8-ball. You know, we just can encourage our guys, you know, we're going to show up and prepare, you know, try to execute the best we can and kind of, you know, that should be in the back of our minds. But ultimately, we want to prepare well to win the game.
Again, that's Mercer County and Newman today, a 1 o'clock kickoff pregame coverage at 12 noon here on 102.3 FM, online at WRMJ.com and streaming on the WRMJ app. Appreciate our local head coaches speaking with us today on Sportsline Rock Ridge's Sam Graves, Orient's Chip Filler, Sherrard's Dan McGuire, and Erie Prophetstown's Tyler Whitebread. Thanks for tuning into Sportsline on a Saturday morning. Hope you can join us for high school football later today with Mercer County and Newman going at it up in Sterling. From the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo, this has been Sportsline. For WRMJ Sports, I'm Ty Taylor.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Brought to you by Diamond Ag, your local ag retail supplier, built from your local specifications with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville. Your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, farm, or business by 6140 Running Galesburg. Your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots. And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. The preceding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice of Western Illinois.